my sermon theme is bait and switch. And I got my bachelor's in business administration. Oh, I can't believe how long ago. Man. And many of the classes were marketing. And we learned how to devise an advertising campaign. And we would even go out to businesses. One was a restaurant in Bloomington, Illinois that was floundering. And we went in and presented a business plan. We had a marketing strategy and all this. It was really a lot of fun. And the whole idea of marketing is to help that customer see that what you have is what they need and to create a desire for it, right? And unfortunately, a lot of marketing is of the devil, quite frankly, and of this world. And it tries to entice both young and old, what we have, you cannot live without. This is the most important thing. And just imagine, if you have this, you'll be so happy. And if you drink this beer, you have this gorgeous girlfriend, you know. And, oh, yeah, right. That doesn't work. Maybe the drink makes it look like... No, we'll go there. But anyway, what's that? Yeah, I know. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. And you think of all that. And then all these advertisements, Christmas. Remember I talked about getting my TV. We talk about bait and switch. Oh, here you can get this TV for a 52-inch for only $100. Yeah, you get there at 1 o'clock in the morning. Or like Martha, she had to stand in line Thanksgiving night. Right? Had to stand in line for 12 hours to get it. And then you get there, like I got there about 5 o'clock in the morning, first time I ever gone to Black Friday shopping, ever. And the last time, yeah, it wasn't too bad, but, oh, we don't have that model. Oh, really? What a surprise. How many did you have in the store? Maybe two, you know? So the bait and switch. Oh, so you're baited to come in for this, and then, oh, we switch here, and this is what we have for you. At a more, right? You got it.
Only at 38-inch.
That's exactly it. 36-inch, yes, that's right. But I do like my TV. But anyway, bait and switch. And the devil does that a lot, right? And so today we're going to talk about not just Jesus' temptation, but how we can apply it to our lives in handling temptation. And so I've got a lot to cover here. So here we go. Now, thanks to Vanna Babby, Babba, Babby, Babby Vanna, we've got... We had three aspects here of the way of a temptation, the way it goes. First of all, the bait. Satan says, oh, he presents something that we just have to have, right? We talked about that. Okay, I've got to have it. I can't live without it. And, oh, boy, and I'm just miserable without it. We all have our different temptations, and so that's the bait. Oh, God doesn't care about that anymore. That's old-fashioned. And God doesn't really care about you. Back in the Garden of Eden, right? God didn't say that. Oh, come on. You've got to be kidding me. He just is hiding. He's holding out on you. And Satan still does it. God is not good. And he doesn't care one thing about you. And look how your life is. What good is it following Jesus? So that's... And here's what I have to offer. And that's what the devil tempted Jesus with. Oh, if you're really the Son of God, 40 days of not eating... Why don't you command these stones to be turned into bread? Now, the bread in the Middle East was flat and round. So you see these stones like we have in the desert? So look at these rocks. If you really are, which I'm not so sure you are, the Son of God. Huh?
You knew exactly what you were.
Oh, sure. But if, the big if. Satan throws the big if in all of our lives. If. The Bible doesn't say if, right? It states truth. Satan brings up conjecture. Subjective. Well, now if. So the bait. And the appeal. Oh, then he brings it out more and more. To he appeals. The appeal of the apple, which really was an apple, but pomegranate, but most people think it is, yeah.
Whatever.
The forbidden fruit. Oh, you just have this. You'll be like everybody else and happy. And look, everybody else is happy, smiling, and you know what Deacon said, you're miserable. So here you go. Whatever the temptation, he brings the appeal. If you have an appeal, the courts, they bring out all the reasons, right? For their case. Satan drags out all the reasons. And he can bring out a whole... Well, he's been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. And we talked about the screw tape letters. You know, and he talks about he customizes temptation, but he brings his appeal. And he can be very convincing, right? And sometimes that's the only voice we hear is his voice. We're lonely, and we'll go through that. I'm going ahead of myself. But that appeal, it can be almost irresistible. In fact, it's irresistible... without God's power. And then the struggle. So here we are, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. The Pilgrim's Progress is a great book about this. We've got this appeal. God, flesh, spirit. And we have that struggle. We will all have that struggle, unfortunately, until we go to heaven. We can't get rid of our sinful nature. We can try to kill it, push it down, and let the new man come forth. But if you try to eradicate your sinful nature, it will not work. I don't care how pious and holy you seem, and how churchy and holy. It don't matter, right? You can't get rid of that stinking old sinful nature. Push it down, keeps popping up. Push it down, pops up. Oh, it's tiring, isn't it? Yeah, like that game. When will it stop? And we get weary and tired about that. But anyway, that's another point. So we got the bait, the peel, the struggle, and then the response. And yeah, if we give it to Jesus, cry out to Jesus, like the song says, it works a whole lot better. But these are the aspects of temptation. Now, venom. You do the motions right there.
You guys are all going to close your eyes a little bit, right?
Yeah. That'll cost you. How much? How much? There's some fundraising here while Rick's gone. Wow, how'd you get all that money in the budget? And that's another thing, the temptation for churches, to sell out to the world, to sell out, right? And be a fun, do all kinds of fundraisers and turn the temple into a money change. Oh, thank you. All right. Now, another thing about the temptation of Jesus is that when you read the story, I'm not going to read through it, okay? So I'm trusting you that you read, you were listening, paying attention, right? And you refer to it while we're talking. But as you look at that, when did the temptation of Jesus happen? After a spiritual high. He was just baptized. The Holy Spirit came down on the dove. The heavens were torn open. The Father's voice booms out like thunder. This is my beloved Son. Oh, you talk about a spiritual high. I remember after I was ordained and installed, and in my ordination, first act I did was baptize my daughter. Oh my goodness, you talk about a high. I just become a parent and a pastor, all within 2 weeks' time. And moved from Fort Wayne, Indiana to a little town, Hicktown, Winchester, Illinois. And I'm going, why is everybody waving at me in a little town? They're all waving at me. And it was just a different experience. It was a culture shock. And not to have any concrete or asphalt roads, just dirt roads and getting lost in the country. Anyway, that Sunday was a spiritual high for me. But later that week, when the baby's crying all night, and I got to go to the office, and I'm looking in my office, I go, I'm a pastor now? Oh my gosh, I'm a parent and a pastor. And I'm 25 years old, and I'm going, what do I do now? And but after a spiritual high, as Satan will wait, he'll let you have your spiritual high, feeling the Holy Spirit and everything. Whoa! And then, right after that, he comes. Now, Jesus, of course, didn't succumb. But that's when it happened to Jesus and many times for us. And in a time of physical weakness. Yeah, isn't it though? 40 days, no food. And one of the most understated facts of the Bible is, and Jesus was hungry. You think? Yeah. After 40 days? Oh, man. You think about that.
And if the rocks didn't want to turn into bread, they just looked like they were.
Oh, yeah. Really. You think about the prodigal son when he was so hungry that the pods that the pigs ate looked good to him. I don't ever look at those pods, and they're the same kind of pods we have out here, and going, oh, boy, those sure look good. No. Like I'm from a mesquite tree? No, no. But they... No, just don't go there. Anyway, where am I at? Okay, physical weakness. So 40 days not eating. You know, fasting. Fasting is very powerful. Before Crucial or healing service, I try to fast 3 days, 3.5 days, 4 days, no more than that. I can't imagine a 21-day fast or a 40-day fast. I can't even fathom that. I really can't. And so hats off to people who can do it. But many times, Satan comes in times of physical weakness, not just because of fasting, but what is it? Halt, they talk about in 12-step groups. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or I would add bored. That's when Satan hits a lot of times. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored. Physical weakness or sickness. When I was sick, I'm a big baby when I get sick, like a lot of guys. And it was scary when you're alone. And I'm thinking, oh boy, you know, this is kind of scary. I hope I don't get the flu. Because I've heard one of our coworkers, she thought she was going to die, literally. And some people have from the flu. But when we're weak, Satan plays mind games with you. Can't think straight, you know, and you can't sleep. And if you don't have enough sleep, and you're feeling bad, right? And if it's constant, chronic pain, that Satan loves to come, right? And you think of Jesus on the cross, physical weakness. If you're in that lot of pain, I can just kind of yell out at people, and a whole different side comes out that I'm not proud about. But Jesus didn't yell out on the cross in that excruciating pain. He says, "Forgive them." So, but Satan comes in time of physical weakness. And He comes when a person is alone. Jesus alone in the desert. And what the Bible says is not good for man to be alone. And the church, the fellowship of the saint, is you can't live without it. You can't just say, I'm going to take my Bible, I'm just going to read the Bible, put on a CD, DVD, praise tape, and I'll be fine. No, you won't be fine. I won't be fine. I tried that. You have to have a community. And even going, we talk about in sober recovery, trying to overcome addictions, alcoholism and all that, you can't do it alone. You've got to be accountable, you've got to be vulnerable, and you've got to be in touch with other people, right? Community is so important. But Satan, and I'm seeing that, of people who were my mentors in the faith, he's used a physical illness of themselves or their spouse, where it's day after day after day after day after day, and maybe they're not in the right mind and they're screaming and yelling at their spouse and the person's feeling weakened. Or they quit going to church for one reason or another. There's a falling out. There's a church split. And they stop going. And they get isolated. And Satan's picking them off. These people were my spiritual giants in my life. And just talked to one yesterday that I said, we're going to have lunch together. And I've got somebody to watch your sick wife. And I'm not going to have an excuse. And she's going to have somebody, a friend for her. And we're going to go out to lunch. And we're going to reconnect. Because if you lose connection with God and other people, and I've been there, that is not a good place. And it's crazy how just one day out of the Word, or one week out of, from worship, or longer, how that impacts all of us. We're not strong enough on our own, right? Yeah. So there we go. And the three temptations in this, the temptation to do it by yourself. Remember, Satan says, you know, if you are the Son of God, then just, boom, you know, have some. You can do that with a fish later on. Why can't you do it now? To do it by ourselves. And we are tempted to this is the do-it-yourself society in our country, right? Do it yourself. Or the government. Either do it yourself or let the government take care of you. Anyway, the temptation is to do it yourself. And especially we men. I can do it myself. I don't need help. I'm not going to ask for directions. That's a whole other thing. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm just, nope, I can do it. That stubbornness and that pride inside all of us, it's the do-it-yourself program, you know? The self-help. Self-help. Does self-help work?
No.
Even the word self-esteem, it really should be we should get our esteem and our love from God's love for us and not self-esteem. And I know what people mean. You need to have positive self-esteem. I work with that a lot in Touchstone. But if it's focused on self, it don't work, right? The do-it-yourself program, let's just say, well, I'm going to use this later, and just scratch that out and don't go there. But the world, think about this. The majority of people are in that program, right?
Yes.
They think that their good works get them to heaven. I go to church. Or whatever. Oh, you name it. But that doesn't work. Okay. The next temptation. The temptation to take the easy way. Oh, what's so funny? Hey, is this hit home a little bit? But that's what he does, right? Oh, let's avoid the cross. Somebody was mentioned earlier, the cross. Let's avoid the cross. Avoid the pain of being a disciple, of counting the cost to be a disciple, and let's just go the easy way, the easy plan. Like some of these budget plans, oh, easy steps to money, easy money, you know, only blah, blah, blah per month. And then you have this guy that talks 100 miles an hour, right? All the restrictions, most people will not apply to this, will not be approved of this. On and on it goes, right? But the temptation to take the easy way out. Yeah. Take the easy way. And you fill in the blanks. Yeah. I know. And the chance of being hit by lightning is greater than winning the lottery. Yeah. But just fill in the blanks. Think about how often the temptation for a church, as a church body, take the easy way, not talk about truth, hit the hard subjects and all that. Just to make it entertainment. How do you feel good? And there is a sense of feeling good in God's worship and feeling inspired, but not appealing to our flesh or having a great show or what entertainment. We're not here to entertain you. Let me entertain you. No, that's not our theme song. Some churches it is, right? We're not here to entertain. But God comes, and He comes in the picture, right? So that's the other temptation. And then the temptation to walk by sight and not by faith. That's the exact opposite of verse in the Bible, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And once again, Satan, he can use Scripture, turn words around, twist them, and there's false preachers and teachers that do that today, and the devil does it. He knows his Bible, but he twists it around, right? For instance, in tempting us, he'll say, it's no big deal. If you do this, no big deal. God will forgive you. Yeah. And as soon as you commit that sin, he says, you can't be forgiven for that. That's a terrible sin. I thought you said it was no big deal. Well, I didn't say that. And he switches his tactic there. And here he switches the words around. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight, right? And so Jesus had this temptation, if you're really the Son of God, fill your stomach. If you're really the Son of God, jump off the top of the temple, and God will take care of you. If you really are the Son of God, worship me, and I'll give you. And Satan does have some authority to give the kingdoms of this world. He's the prince of this world. And he says, I'll give this all to you, and I won't ever be a problem with you ever again. Yeah, right.
But he's a temporary.
Yes. He's not the king.
And
he's given some leeway, but that's going to be short-lived. And we look for the day when he'll be cast down into hell, right? And you think about all the pain that he's created. And it's not all the devil. You know, I get some people, everything's the devil. Nothing in our flesh, nothing about the world, and they want to blame everything on the devil. Or there's other churches that don't believe in the supernatural work of the devil when it's all flesh or all the world. But there's a balance, right? Our enemies are the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. That's the unholy trinity. Now, when Jesus started this, notice in chapter 4, verse 1, what was Jesus full of? We talk about being full of it. You're just full of it. Full of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Luke was amazing because he's got all the credentials as a physician, very intelligent and analytical. But also, he's not afraid of the Holy Spirit. He walks in the Spirit and the mind, and he has a sharp mind and also a very astute ear for the Holy Spirit. And so Dr. Luke says, full of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the Greek means he was driven into the desert by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit propelled him like the strong wind right from the baptism, from the River Jordan. Okay, time to go. Here you're starting your ministry, and you're going to be tempted. And not only, it's not just about Jesus. He fulfills for us the righteousness we don't have. He didn't succumb to temptation. So Jesus, His being our substitute, our Savior, is not just on the cross. It's also the life He lived, perfect. He lived the perfect life for you. So He's your substitute. He comes in. Now going in for Sandy, number 7, Jesus Christ. He comes in when we're weak and we're failing, and He steps in, He's your substitute, and wins the game as the champion. He wins it. And He gives us the victory. And Romans, Daryl, always says in self-recovery, Romans 7 talks about the struggles Paul has on his own. The good that I would do, I don't do. The bad that I would not do, that I do. Wretched man that I am, this battle, what am I going to do? And on our own, none of us will win. But when Paul realized, when he would be connected to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and let the wind of the Spirit propel him and rely on Jesus' power, then it'd be all different. Martin Luther said the best way to handle temptation, when temptation comes and knocks on the door, Martin Luther would say, who's there? And he said, Jesus, can you get the door for me?
Amen.
And so he'd send Jesus to the door of temptation. And so you have Jesus in front of Luther, confronting Satan. And how do we do that? We do it through the Word of God and God's presence and worship. So let's send Jesus to the door. Let Him be our spokesman. Let Him be our power source. And when we connect with Him, it's a whole lot better than if we try, I can handle Satan. Come on. There was one, a person I met a few years ago who tried it. It was a spiritual person. And her family was under so much severe attack. It was awful. She had one person after the other get very sick, and had a fire in her house. Her car broke down. And it's as because she wanted to take on Satan, with her power. And so we don't want to do that, right? Exactly. Well, when you think of the battle hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress, the song, which I love in Spanish, Castillo Fuerza. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old evil foe, sworn to work us woe, with dread, craft, and might, He arms Himself to fight. On earth He has no equal. No strength of ours can match His might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God Himself elected. Ask ye who this is? Ask ye who this may be? The Lord of hosts is He, Jesus Christ our Lord, God's only Son, adored. He holds the field victorious. Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not. Unmoved we stand, they cannot overpower us. This world's prince may rage, in fierce war engage. He is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. What is that one little word? Jesus. God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it. For God Himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. If they take our house, goods, fame, child, or spouse, wrench our life away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. And when Jesus was tempted, what did He say? Three words after every temptation. It is written. He didn't try to debate Satan. Even Jesus didn't. He just quoted the Word of God. He took that sword out and He wielded that sword, the sword of the Spirit. He says, take that, Satan. This is our only offensive weapon. Our faith is our defensive weapon to protect us. Our sword is our offensive weapon to come against evil with a penetrating two-edged sword of the Word of God. Because when God speaks, He says, let there be light, and there was light. He says, be healed, and there was healing. He says, Lazarus, come forth out of the tomb, and he comes walking out, and somebody said, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, if he just said come out, everybody would be coming out of the tombs. Said just Lazarus. But that's the power of the Word. But what does Satan say about this Word? I'll just fall asleep, it's boring, you don't need to hear this, you know, it's not relevant to your life, there's no joy, there's no power. Here, he tries to bait and switch. But the Word of God, this is a hymnal, the Word of God is our power, right? So, but we need the Holy Spirit to connect us to this Word. Otherwise, it's just dead words. So, thank you, Vanna, for helping out here. And may the Lord help us to rely on Him as we look at our hurts and habits and hang-ups, and that we are powerless and life is unmanageable. But when we decide to turn it over to Jesus, we have His power to win over sin. Amen? Amen. And we pray. Lord Jesus, may this not just be words, but a strategy. This is a strategy session for Your saints and for Your warriors, Lord, as we develop our battle plans right now for this coming week. We know that we'll all have challenges this week. We'll get tired and discouraged and weakened and maybe even fail at times. But Lord, we want to run back to You, to Your power source, the cross, the empty tomb, and the unstoppable force of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit and Your presence and Your death and resurrection. Lord, help us now. Speak to us. Teach us, Lord. Commander-in-Chief, we ask that You would show us the strategies and the schemes of the evil one and rely on Your all-sufficient power, that Your Word can defeat him and that we are on the winning side. Forgive us for the many times we've all failed. We're embarrassed, we're ashamed of ourselves, but we run to the cross and we receive Your forgiveness and new power, new life, new mercy, new strength, new grace, new hope, right now for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.